What's going on, my psycho slasher savages? On this episode, it's our holiday edition. It's Friday the 13th, so happy Friday the 13th, everybody. We will be going over some UFO news, the lore of the Dybbuk box, Edgegrave Dave reviews the classic Freddy vs. Jason, and much, much more. So let's take a slow Jason Voorhees walk and check it out.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, Season 4, Episode 2. I am...
Oh, boy, it's 2 already, yeah?
That's right, that's right. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm Natman.
That's right. That's the Nat Man. It's his second episode, everybody. So, you know, be nice to him.
Yeah, please.
And yeah, I hope I hope you enjoyed the first episode. I know it was like super long, and but you know, we had to give, you know, the Nat Man a good intro.
It was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I can't believe I'm actually doing this. So, thank you everybody for giving me a chance.
And you know what? And he sounds like a natural already, you know, like I honestly.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this is our Friday the 13th episode. Happy Friday the 13th, Nat. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
It's a joyous, to all you guys. Joyous holiday.
In the corner, shut the lights off and put your headphones on a full blast. Not to get yourself scared, silly.
That's right. Listen to some Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast and then watch a scary slasher movie. It's got to be a slasher movie, though. If it's not Friday the 13th slasher, it's still got to be a slasher movie.
Like I said, I'm heading for Terrifier Part 2 tonight.
Yeah, Nat actually saw the first Terrifier, which I'm very proud of him with, because it's so good.
And if you guys like slasher films like the 80s style one, Friday the 13th, Michael Myers and Halloween, this is definitely for you guys. It stood up perfectly. I loved it. I could have done without all the Italian accents, but yeah, what are you gonna do?
Well, that's what you get when you have a creator, director, and stuff that was a Staten Islander. You know,
I still can't believe that. That's totally awesome.
But the guy who plays Art the Clown is amazing. I mean, me and Edgegrave Dave love this guy too. Like, we did a horrible review on The Mean One, which, you know, last Christmas, and that was him. Yeah, that was him starring as the Grinch. David Howard Thornton, who plays Art the Clown, plays it's a horror movie of the Grinch. And it's really funny.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Yeah. And it's really, really funny because they can't say the Grinch on it. They're not allowed.
Yeah, I know.
So they call it the Mean One, and then it's so good. It's like so bad, it's great. You know?
I gotta check that out.
But one thing I had seen with my kids over the weekend, we got to see Beetlejuice. Yes, sir.
Already?
Yeah.
So
listen, so Edgegrave Dave is going to do a review, a horrible review.
So you saw it too?
Yeah, I believe so. So
am I the only person in the world who hasn't seen it yet?
Damn. So I'm not going to go into like spoilers and stuff like that, but what I am going to say is, I loved it. And if you loved the first one, you're going to love this one too. Michael Keaton is freaking awesome, as he always is. I always loved Winona Ryder, you know, so, and she's great in it. And Jenna Ortega, it's funny though, because Jenna Ortega, she's a decent actress. I don't think she's a very good actress, but the one thing that she has, like she could sell the scenes with just her eyes. You know, she has a very, like, the stare and, like, the eyes that she does. It's very, you know.
It's that same thing when she did the Wedding to the Adams thing.
Right.
She had that look. That stupid dancing was kind of stupid, but the way she had that stone-cold look on her face when she was doing it gave you the chills.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's what I mean. Like, she could really sell scenes with just the way she looks, you know. Mm-hmm. And I
agree.
Yeah, I think it's, but yeah, no, I loved it a lot. The one thing I do have to say that I really like too is, I don't know if you knew this, Nat, but the first Beetlejuice movie, do you know that Beetlejuice was only in about 17 minutes of the first movie?
Really?
Yeah, he was only in 17 minutes of it. This one, he's in it a lot more, which is cool. And, you know, and they do a lot of stuff that you're like, oh, I remember that kind of from the first one. So it was really, really cool. I definitely enjoyed it.
I'm definitely going to see it soon. I just haven't had the chance to do it yet.
I hear you.
Definitely. That's awesome. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I'm glad it's actually good, because I was hoping, I didn't want it to be a failure. I really didn't want it to be a plop.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Terrifier 3 actually comes out on October 11th.
It's not out already?
No, Terrifier 3 comes out in October. So
I thought it came out that long ago.
No, it's not out yet. So that's going to be awesome when that comes out.
Bear with me, guys. I just started with the Terrifier.
And you got to see All Hallows Eve also, because that was when Art was first introduced. Again, it's not David Howard Thornton, you know, and David Howard Thornton is Art the Clown. Like, he's kind of like Freddy Krueger at this point. Like, nobody else could play Art the Clown now. Just because I don't think anybody can make the faces. I don't think anybody could do that quite like this guy.
Just to give a little shout out to the Spirit Halloween stores. My son works at one of them, and that's one of the big displays out right now is Art the Clown. They're actually really promoting it, so I'm guessing because of the movie.
That's awesome.
So if you like it, you can pick up a Art the Clown costume.
Nat, so I told you I had kind of like a little surprise, right?
All right. Uh-oh, here we go.
So remember how I always ask people, you know, like to call in with their paranormal experiences?
Yeah.
You know, I tell them to call 845-600-0744 and leave their, you know, paranormal experiences. So I actually got a voicemail.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No. It's really, really cool. Hold on. I'm going to play it for you.
Hello. Is anybody there?
I think you're supposed to leave a message or something.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
My story.
So what happened was,
Beavis, shut up, butthole. He gave me the
$3. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, one time, like, I was laying in my bed. And I saw this big black figure next to my bed.
Yeah, it was really big.
I was trying to sleep. And,
oh my God.
You know, I thought it was a ghost.
Yeah, look,
but it just turned out to be our neighbor, Anderson. So what I did was I got up and I kicked
it. All right, so I'm just going to listen.
Oh, God. This is what you get when you listen to our podcast.
I wouldn't have to do horrible cartoon voices if people would actually call up and say their freaking paranormal experiences. Okay. And let me tell you something, Nat. Let me tell you something. It's not going to get any better than that.
It came out good. Okay? I thought it was awesome.
Those are the best voices I could do. Those are the best voices I could do. I can't do any. So if you don't want to hear a very, very bad Saul Rosenberg impression telling a fictitious story about a paranormal experience that he had, then please call in at 845-600-0744 and leave a freaking voicemail.
Serious, guys. If you're nervous or nothing, just then send an email. Do anything.
Right, and we'll read it. And it could be totally anonymous. And trust me, we're as silly as we are, we're not going to judge you at all.
No, we'll give you 5 minutes of fame.
That's absolutely right. And yeah, so please do it, because I don't want to do that again.
I tell you, ever since my first episode, I'm already giving autographs everywhere I go.
That's right.
If you want that 5 minutes of fame, make that phone call. Send in that email. No, seriously, guys. We really want your stories. We really want to talk to you about stuff. Just do your part and send the email in. Give us a good story and you'll be on the air with the rest of us.
Absolutely. So I guess we're going to get into some UFO news. UFO sightings have been actually picking up lately. There was a UFO spotted over the town of Fort Edward, New York, approximately 200 miles from New York City, by a pilot and his co-pilot as they were dropping off military people after their basic training. Around 4 a.m. on August 1st, while flying over some farmland, the co-pilot pointed over near some mountains and asked, you know, saw some green light that was hovering over the mountains. It was like a solid green light, cigar-shaped craft. And they witnessed it for about 10 minutes. At one point, it went from a mile away to only 500 feet away from them.
Wow.
It's yeah, it's super close, you know.
Were they able to get a picture?
And I don't think so. I don't think so, because, you know, they were doing their mission, you know what I mean? So I guess they weren't really able to. But it said that its lights eventually shut off and it disappeared into the night. The pilot didn't report it to the supervisor, you know, because they don't want to be talking about that. But there is a reporting agency for military and for, you know, law enforcement and stuff like that, called NUFORC, NUFORC, mm-hmm. which that's where they reported it to, you know, for their sightings and stuff. And you could do that anonymously. So, yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. And that's not the first time military has come out and said that they've seen things too, which I think is pretty amazing, you know, that they're actually the ones coming
out. That's right.
And actually,
oh, that's pretty damn cool. That close up to them, that's pretty freaking neat.
We're not going to talk about politics on stuff on here because I don't talk about politics and religion. But one thing, if you're undecided about who you want to vote for, one thing that actually just came out a couple days ago is that Donald Trump had said that if he gets reelected, then he's going to declassify all of the UFO stuff that the Pentagon has. On the opposite side of the country, many reports of a cluster of UFOs were spotted in Palmdale and Lancaster, just north of L.A., as reported. And many people had reported seeing these objects on their Ring cameras and their Neighbors app. And I believe that there are pictures and videos of that. I could probably link them to the show notes if you guys want to see them. They claim to see a hovercraft-like saucer making erratic and jerking movements in the sky. One eyewitness stated, "Me and my daughter were hanging out in the backyard when we both thought we saw a shooting star falling east. It stopped very abruptly and zigzagged going north." So that's pretty crazy. Now, that was in Palmdale. And it says here, though, that Palmdale is near Edwards Air Force Base, which is the second largest Air Force base in the U.S. Air Force. It's been a center for advanced aerospace testing and numerous UFO sightings. So, I mean, you know, it could be UFOs. It could be something that the military is working on. You know, we don't know. But
even if it's UFOs, it's going to end up being military stuff because they cover up everything.
And that's the thing, too. A UFO is that. It doesn't have to be an alien. It's an unidentified flying object. We don't know what it is. So it could be government.
Okay, just to mention, I did see something. Now, I'm going through some things in my life right now, so I could be wrong with what I remember. But I did watch a show called, I think, Unexplained on Camera or something like that on the Travel Channel. And it was a brand new episode. And I think that they mentioned that it was a sighting of a UFO in either, I think, somewhere in New York, either Brooklyn or Manhattan. I don't remember. I'll look into it more in our next episode. I'll let you know what I find. But if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure they said Brooklyn, which is outstanding to know that it was somewhere where that close by.
And then also the last UFO report actually also happened in New York. It was reported just in May, this past May. And it was in Bloomingburg, New York. In Sullivan County, it's kind of upstate. A man claimed to have witnessed two white cubes hovering over, and it even gives the address, 9 Stone Schoolhouse Road, about 50 yards away. And he saw it beam up two women who were walking in front of that address. Yeah, he said a light appeared from one, and he witnessed the first woman floating up towards the cube. And then the second, had done the same. And the cubes both floated higher and disappeared and took these women away.
Well, the fact of the matter is this could be looked up. You could always just find out if there was a missing persons report in that area with that address. If anybody's interested in finding out, if you hear anything about that, give us a call back.
Actually, and I actually wanted to talk about something else, too, that I had found out about. So, Nat, did you hear about the two astronauts that the media keeps saying they're like, they're stuck up in space for, you know, until 2025 and stuff. So technically,
yeah.
They're actually, you know, the media makes it out to be like they're stuck up there and it's like this horrible thing. Let me explain something to you though. Right now they're on the space station, okay, waiting to come back home. The space station is about the size of a football field. That's number one. So it's not like they're stuck in like this tiny, tiny little capsule. Okay. So it's the size of a football field. Not to mention, there's at least a dozen other astronauts up there with them. So they're not by themselves. That's another thing the media doesn't really say. You know, there's other astronauts up there.
Yeah, but I always thought that anyway. I had a feeling that was the way it was supposed to be.
You know, and they have plenty of food because every time a mission goes up to that space station, they drop off supplies. So they have plenty of food, plenty of resources. They're just kind of on an extended vacation at this point, waiting to come back down to Earth. So it's not like they're in dire straits or that they're in distress or anything like that, because they're really not.
No, but there's a big difference between going up there for 6 days and then having to stay there 6 years.
I mean, I wouldn't mind a vacation.
Up in space? Yeah, why not?
You know, why not?
Be fun.
How about we go on to some paranormal news?
Ooh, paranormal.
So this paranormal news is actually about, it kind of looks like Annabelle and Robert the doll, Annabelle the doll and Robert the doll, they might have some competition. There's actually another possessed doll that is considered one of the most haunted in the world. It's thought to be possessed by a spirit of a scorned bride named Elizabeth. There are claims that this entity has attacked 17 men. The owner of the doll, Lee Steer, had purchased this doll off of eBay, of all things, for his Haunted Objects Museum, which is in Rotherham, South Yorkshire, in England. So he claims that at one point he felt a burning sensation on his back, and then he noticed a pentagram had been etched on his back. At least 15 other men have reported being scratched and yelled at to take out the garbage.
What?
No, I added that part in. No, I'm just kidding about the garbage part, but they were scratched though.
I was going to say, this should be on Haunted eBay.
It's activated the fire alarm, moved items, and messed with a lot of electronic equipment. When women are around, the spirit of the doll moves objects and the lights flicker on and off. No women have actually been attacked. You know, she's only really been physically attacking married men. I guess they feel that the occurrences have stepped up because they had recently acquired some items from the Conjuring movie and feel that she may be jealous that she's not getting all of the attention anymore. That's a typical woman. I mean,
typical girl.
The guy that owns it said, "It was amazing. I felt someone grab my shirt and my skin was touched," he said. My shirt popped out. I reacted and it felt like someone had come behind me and pulled my shirt and wanted my attention. I wasn't scared, but it put me on edge. We have investigated lots of places, but it was the first time I have properly been touched.
Properly.
That's sad. That's sad.
But bad for the guy.
We didn't think, right?
First time he's touched by a girl and it's not even a real human.
Oh, well. That's right. You know, it's still a girl, I guess, you know. I mean, to each their own.
Touche. So
we didn't think that the camera would have caught this, but we saw it had happened. It was 100% the bridal doll that did this to me. People analyzing the video noticed the words bride and haunting randomly appear on the footage. Lee's girlfriend, Sarah, now refuses to be alone with the doll. It says here, "I took a look down his shirt and there were scratches in so many different directions," she said. "It looked like a pentagram had been scratched onto him. We had been with him all night and we knew he hadn't been scratching. It was terrifying." So, yeah, so that's pretty crazy that there's another doll like that. I mean, there's a lot of dolls out there that they claim are haunted, but I never actually heard of this one before. So it's pretty crazy. Elizabeth, the doll, the bridal doll.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's get this. I want to get something straight about this doll thing. I mean, you probably know a little more about this. You've actually seen the Annabelle doll in person. When they claim that these things are attacking them, it's not the actual doll doing anything. It's only when the doll since they brought the doll to the house, things are starting to happen.
Right. It's not Chucky.
It's not like the animal doll got up and chased him and started scratching the shit out of him. Or this Elizabeth. Can it be that the house was actually haunted and just came to life when the just at the same time that this doll came there? That it might have not actually been the doll?
I mean, I guess it could have been. Maybe like what they say about Annabelle is that Annabelle isn't, I mean, we've all seen the Conjuring movies. Annabelle isn't a little girl trapped into that doll named Annabelle. It's a demon that
pretending to be,
you know, so it could be just, you know, a spirit in there that wants to just, you know, mess around with people, you know?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I mean, what if the house was actually haunted already and it was perfectly at bay and then they brought this fucking doll in and now all of a sudden they get pissed off and things started happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No,
I mean, it's another way of looking at it. Everybody just assumes it was the doll, but it might have not been the doll. It could have just been that the doll caused things. Maybe it got jealous of the doll. Who knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a crazy story all in all, though. I mean, the fact that it's only going after men and stuff like that is kind of weird. But again, like we said, it could be just a demon pretending to be, you know, if it's that at all,
of course.
You know, and like I've always said too, I mean, it could just be an asshole spirit. If you're an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death, period.
100%.
You know, if you didn't cross over and you're still in the earth realm or whatever, you know, and you were an asshole, you're going to carry that with you because your personality doesn't change.
Yeah, I completely agree. 100%. So let me tell you, it's a freaky story. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, can't see why they don't get rid of the doll.
Well, because I guess it's attracting a lot of people to their, you know, haunted objects museum. And, you know, it's I'm sure it makes for some good stories.
100%.
But I would not have a haunted paranormal museum anywhere near me, I guess. You know, it's,
well, I guess if you take all the proper channels, I mean, like, you know, as much as we can't believe every story you hear, the Warrens always had a priest come and did some sort of prayer rites or something like that.
Yeah.
They took proper precaution. If you're smart enough to know enough to do stuff like that, then I guess it could be safe.
Yeah, well, I mean, every time that they move Annabelle, they have to say prayers and stuff like that when they have to remove her from her case and put her, you know, for transit to go somewhere else. They always say some kind of prayers and some kind of, you know, protection, you know, prayers, you know, to protect themselves. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, man. It's definitely crazy. Actually, there's a haunted, I think maybe a couple haunted dolls in the paranormal museum that my buddy John Wright, the Wright Headspace, where he works. Because he works there every Sunday, and that's actually where I met him at this at the Pine Bush Paranormal Museum, a UFO and Paranormal Museum in Pine Bush, New York.
Wow!
And there's a little haunted shack. They call it the Paranormal Shack, I believe, and it has a whole bunch of haunted items in there, and there's a few haunted dolls there. So it's pretty creepy in there. Hmm. I'm not gonna lie. I wanted to sit next to one of the haunted dolls.
You were at the, you actually went into the shack?
I did actually. Yeah.
How did it feel? Heavy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, when I tried lifting it, it was definitely a shack. It was made out of solid wood. All right,
Marty.
And no, it definitely felt like there was something going on in there. I actually, I'm a glutton for punishment, and I actually wanted to sit next to the haunted dolls. And I guess I probably could because I know the people that run the place, right? But there were other people on my tour group, so they ended up sitting next to the freaking doll that I didn't get a chance to. But John Wright had actually done some paranormal readings and stuff in there, so hopefully maybe he can make like a quick little clip on you know, what he found in that, you know, in his findings.
Sounds good.
I think that would be pretty cool.
All right.
So
go ahead, man. Take the call.
Yeah. So, all right. So I think they're probably tired of hearing us talk at this moment. So let's go with some horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave, where he reviews one of my favorite movies, actually, one of my favorite horror movies, Freddy versus Jason. All right, Dave.
Another Friday the 13th.
Take it away.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
My children. From the very beginning, it was the children who gave me my power. The Springwood Slasher, that's what they called me. And what they call me is Edgegrave Dave. Welcome to the Crypt of the Warped Reality Podcast, Grave Diggers. Because what we're going to get into is the iconic film and 20th anniversary of Freddy versus Jason. With a razor-clawed hockey mask, I'm going to give you guys a grave warning. Spoiler alert. Here we go. Starting in some of my earliest years as a horror fan, I could have only dreamed in my nightmares of two iconic characters coming together in one movie. It's something where I knew kids from middle school who had fan fiction before there was the internet, before this was even a thing, wondering if something like Freddy versus Jason would ever come out and see the light of day. Honestly, at that point, it wasn't even a reality. It was just pure fantasy. It's like, you know, what if we had Batman and Spider-Man? Or what if we had the Terminator and an alien? Actually, I think there was a Super Nintendo title of that name. But it happened in 2003. And man, what a long road to get there. You know, starting back in Friday the 13th, Part 7, New Blood in 1988, there were actually plans to have a crossover. I mean, at that time, Jason was owned by Paramount Pictures. Freddy had New Line Cinema, which was the house that Freddy built. And they just couldn't get it done at that time. They just couldn't get it off the ground. It wasn't until we have 1993's Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday, that we caught a glimpse of what could be. When at the end of that movie, and again, another spoiler alert, you have Freddy's glove rising from the dirt and dragging down Jason Voorhees' hockey mask all the way down to hell. It wasn't until 10 years later that we did receive this film. And what an absolute treat and feast for the eyes and soul that it was. Actually, looking back, there was an Alien vs. Predator game on the Super Nintendo, but nonetheless, we did have Terminator games. And you know what? After this film, we actually had Alien vs. Predator movies. So, you know what? Crossovers were really something that, you know, got kind of hot for a while. Unless if you want to go all the way back to the Universal Classic films, where you had Dracula and you had Frankenstein. I mean, what an idea that this was. And in 2003, there was a nightmare of my very own. There was actually a big blackout. I believe it was called the Blackout of 2003. There were even t-shirts of this. And of course, it happened right at the opening of this goddamn movie. And I believe if you were to ask my buddy Bill, and also Ghost Show might remember this too, it was like there were big plans to go and see this movie, and then movie theaters were actually shut down. I was so disappointed. But the second that it was, you know, time to go and see this movie, which I'm going to say maybe a week later, I had the opportunity to go and see it. Man, this film did really, really well. One of the things that I found really interesting about this movie, and maybe one of the disappointing factors of it, is that while Robert Englund did don the fedora one last time here, you know, Kane Hodder was actually not Jason. You actually had Ken Kersinger. And the reason for that, you know, that was always something that everybody thought would happen. I know that Kane was extremely excited to play this role, and I don't blame him for it. But I believe that it was based on the height difference here, guys. I mean, if you're making movies and I guess that you want a substantial difference between Freddy and Jason, I guess that it did make sense, but we all wanted Kane. This is not to take anything from Ken Kersinger away. I thought he was a phenomenal Jason. I thought he had a great look in the movie. And some trivia for you that you might not know. In 1989's Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, there's a scene when they go in the diner, and one of my favorite quotes, "Welcome to New York." You actually have a guy that tries to stop Jason from killing people. I think he's like one of the chefs or cooks in the kitchen, and he just kind of gets thrown. And that right there was actually a movie that he was in. I also did hear that he did act, or serve rather, as a stunt double in certain scenes. So that's actually pretty cool that in a way you have an alumni. This was directed by Ronnie Yu, who, you know, he had a lot of interesting Hong Kong Chinese movies. He brought in a lot of gore. This was written by Damian Shannon and Mark Swift. This was just such a great crossover, guys. This had Monica Keena, Jason Ritter, Kelly Rowland, actually, Chris Marquette. Of course, as we mentioned, Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger, and Ken Kersinger, as if I have to say that again. So the movie starts out with a fantastic monologue. And this is also one of the few times that you get to see Freddy Krueger. I always called him Fred Krueger in his human form, where he has a monologue about being the Springwood slasher. And they actually show clips from several Nightmare on Elm Street films. And they show how Freddy was weakened and how he was killed by Nancy and Alice and all these characters. Some other trivia for you guys. When they show the Freddy snake from Nightmare 3, the Dream Warriors, it's actually pink. And I tried looking everywhere on the internet for this, if anybody discovered this, and I really couldn't find anything. I remember that they covered it in some kind of green paint. I think it looked too phallic or something like that back in 1987. But they, you know, sure did show that scene for a second. Maybe it was accidental, but super cool nonetheless. And you have Freddy that's now trapped in hell from the events of, I guess, Freddy's Dead. And then when Jason goes to hell, literally, when Jason went to hell at the end of Jason Goes to Hell, as I just stated earlier, they do meet up. Now, Freddy draws his power from fear, okay? With this fear, he can't come back if people aren't afraid of him. This goes all the way back to Nightmare 1. So he needs a vessel. He needs somebody to kill for him, and he uses Jason Voorhees, which I think is a brilliant idea. He sends Jason to kill the children of Elm Street. And Freddy is like a cancer there. You can't even say his name. He is erased. And then once there are a series of kills and the main character, Laurie, says his name, just like that, Freddy starts to regain power and he comes back. But there is a police officer that is actually from the Crystal Lake section of these horror movies, and he believes that it might be Jason. If I have one criticism, I did also look into this. Jason had 21 kills. Or rather, there were 21 kills in this movie. Jason killed 20 of them. Freddy actually kills one person. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the Nightmare series never really had high kill counts to begin with, you know, but the way that he scares and tortures people is just excellent all on its own. But I just found that very interesting. Jason just slashing away and all these people. I mean, for part of it, Freddy does lose power. But I actually found that as kind of interesting, and what it would have been if maybe he would have killed a few more people. Not really a big issue, but just really interesting. But again, the acting, the fear factor, the scare level of it, the gore, all makes it totally worth it. Now, I know what you might be thinking here. Who's the winner, right? That's what everybody was thinking. You know, I would have these conversations back in school where it's like, well, you know, Freddy can only get you in your dreams and Jason kills you for real. So how would that work? You know, would Jason have to go to sleep? Well, I'm not going to tell you the exact answer to that. You'll just have to watch it for yourself. And I implore each and every one of you to go into your own crypts and view this movie, and you'll find out the answer. But it's very interesting how in a lot of the Nightmare series, Freddy is kind of pulled out of the dream and into the real world. There is an element of that that does happen and it does play into the story. It's also very interesting how close that Crystal Lake is to Elm Street. I mean, is it like, you know, you're kind of crossing from, I'm going to give an example of New Jersey into New York, or, you know, maybe it's a little bit closer, like there's one part of town and you're walking down. I mean, that's really very interesting. There's a lot of psychological kind of backstory in a way as to the elements that could harm these characters. Freddy has fire, Jason has water. How can we use that? That I really liked a lot. But then I was also thinking how there's been fire in other Freddy movies and there's been water. Jason's clearly in previous movies gone in the lake, but still, you know, they use that. And maybe there really was a fear that Jason had of the water because he did drown after all. And it really kind of dives into that. I love the story. I love how Hypnosil, which is a fictitious drug that prevents you from dreaming, that's used in Nightmare 3 and the Dream Warriors, how that was brought back. I mean, there were just so many nods to kind of previous elements of films, yet you really didn't have any previous film characters. That, for me, would have been the one thing, if I could say, you know, maybe it was like a movie studio issue or something like that. Bring back Nancy, bring back Alice, bring back Tommy Jarvis from the Friday series, you know, but I mean, it still worked out either way. And continuing onward from this, there are actually comic book sequels and stories where they actually did bring those characters back. There were even talks of a Freddy versus Jason versus Ash for whatever reason. I believe that Bruce Campbell didn't think that a crossover might really work with the Ash character. Maybe he thought, you know, how could he fit into all this? You know, how could he, you know, even stand a chance? I don't really blame him for that. I think to protect the series, maybe that would have been a little bit too campy or maybe far-fetched, but it's still an interesting idea. You know, not getting too much into Jason Goes to Hell, but there is an Easter egg of the Necronomicon, the Book of the Dead, that's actually in that movie. That is a story for another day. That is a really wild movie on its own. And there are, you know, many things about it that maybe people didn't like, but that ending did bring it to Freddy versus Jason. So that I do find really excellent. I love the pace of this movie. The special effects are bar none excellent, especially for 2003. You know, things were really getting like a bit more modern. It had a killer heavy metal soundtrack, actually, which I still do pop on to this day. You know, you had Killswitch Engage, you had Mushroom Head, you had Typo Negative. You know, it seems like a lot of people were making appearances on this. Slipknot had a song on there. I believe that you even had Stone Sour. I mean, you know, it was really sort of modern in its time. It became very popular, but I'm not going to tell you who the winner is, although it is kind of a bizarre ending, but it is an ending that does leave you from wanting more nonetheless. So as far as the Edgegrave Dave rating system, I really want to give this a 5 out of 5 graves. I mean, I feel that it deserves it, but maybe the only reason that prevents it is you sort of have this kind of trick ending that could have led into other things. And I would have liked to have seen other characters from the franchises before it. But I think because, again, you had Paramount Pictures that owns the rights to the first 8 Jason films. And then you have New Line Cinema here that produced this movie, actually, and all the Nightmare movies that might have prevented it. But it really is, to me, a really fun, near-perfect film. And because of Kane Hodder not being in the movie. But, you know, once the actors are selected to play these parts, you really can't complain about it once it's going on, once the movie's already in production. So I can't really rate it based on the actor. But I will tell you, everybody put in their all, and I think that they all did a really phenomenal job. So let's go to sleep and take a little swim in the lake, because we've got a gigantic mammoth battle ahead of us. And even though that it happened 20 years ago, it still feels like yesterday. So have a great one out there, my friends. Cheers, Gravediggers, and Ghost Joe. If you pop on this movie, hey, let's break out the popcorn sometime soon. Later, kids.
Thank you, Edgegrave, for that awesome review, as usual. Thank you, sir.
You're the man, Dave. You're the man.
And, you know, the Nat Man knows Dave, too, because we've all been in a band together, the three of us. I think we said that in the first episode, but the first episode was really long, so you probably didn't listen to the whole thing. I wouldn't listen to me for an hour and a half.
Yep.
But
I would.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nat. I appreciate that.
Anytime. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me.
No. No. Jerk. So, me, Dave, and Nat were actually in a hard rock heavy metal band back in the day called Warped Reality. So, yeah, it's a family name. It's a family name. We keep it in the family.
It's gonna be a household name soon.
That's right. That's right. Hopefully, we could do more with that name. That'd be very cool. But that movie, Freddy vs. Jason. It's funny because most of the time, those kinds of movies don't work. You know what I mean? Most of the time,
The Predator versus Alien was pretty good too.
I don't know. I mean, I never seen it, actually.
But I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw a majority of the ending.
Hmm.
And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I felt like Freddy versus Jason, what I loved about it is that they really kept true to both of those characters in the movie. You know? I mean, sure. I guess the plot was kind of silly, you know, here and there. But I love the kills in it. Actually, one of my favorite kills, I believe, was from that movie. One of my favorite Jason kills.
Which one?
Okay, so it was the one where I don't know if these two people were...
I wonder if it's the same one that I remember.
I don't know if they were fornicating at this point or if, like, the girl got up to use the bathroom or something. But all I remember was Jason taking his machete and putting it through the bed, stabbing the person. And then just when you think that's over, he flips the bed and the bed folds in half and folds the person in half.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's one of my favorites, that was a good one. That's one of my favorites. I love that. That was excellent. You know, that was definitely one of my favorite kills. That and then Friday the 13th part 8 when the boxer is trying to box him and he punches the guy's head off.
And he gets tired.
Right. He's like, give me the best shot. And then Jason punches his head off and it goes into a dumpster.
That was also pretty funny too.
That's excellent. You know, it's just really, really good. You know, it's good horror slasher stuff, you know?
What was awesome about it, and I remember they added that comedy with Freddy. Like the one scene where I guess they were trying to get, Freddy was trying to, I guess he didn't have all his power yet. And he's trying to kill this one person and Jason ends up killing him first. And Jason makes that wonderful one-liner and he gets pissed off.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
I think it was in the woods when they were having the rave.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a long time since I watched that movie. I'm going to have to rewatch it because it is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I just remembered there was a scene and Freddy was about to kill someone and Jason ends up killing him in real life instead of dream world. And Freddy gets freaking pissed off.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I believe. Freddy versus Jason. If I'm not well, I'm sure Edgegrave must have said it on his thing because I didn't listen. I'm sorry, Dave. Now I just gave it away. Anyway, you know, obviously Freddy. I know that the other guy played Freddy Krueger, but Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger. I don't care what anybody says. You know, there's nobody else that could play that quite like him.
No, and but, I know I'm going to get flack for this. You're absolutely right. Robert Englund should just, he's Freddy. But I did enjoy the movie. I don't think it was horrible. I just don't think, I just think he wasn't as good as Robert, but I did enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it. The only remake, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, that I didn't like was the Chucky one. I hated that movie. I hated it with a passion.
I didn't see it because I think he looks stupid.
He looks gay. Yeah, he looks so gay. Super gay. I don't care what anybody says. The movie was retarded. Don't,
you can't say that.
Oh, I know. I forgot. I'm going to offend so many people. Scratch my ass.
It's like our 50 listeners. We're an all-inclusive podcast, okay, everybody? Don't listen to Nat. He's fired after today.
Nice knowing you guys.
That was very short-lived, Nat.
Oh, well. Whatever.
So that was horrible reviews, you know, and thank you, Edgegrave, for that awesome review. He always has great reviews. The Dybbuk box, right? It's from Jewish folklore. I might have touched on it in past episodes, but never really went into detail about it. I know I had actually done a horrible review on a movie about the Dybbuk box also, but it's a Jewish.
What movie was it that you saw?
Don't put me on the spot, man. See, see, this is why he's fired, everybody. He's done. He's done.
Oh boy.
And he's not, and he's not getting the last paycheck either. He's not. That's it. It's over.
Paycheck. How you get a paycheck for this?
Well, not anymore.
Crap. I was doing it for free, I thought. Boy, I can't wait to receive that first check.
So,
I keep going.
All right. So, the Dybbuk box, right? It's from Jewish folklore, and it was pretty much around the 16th century, and they're mainly these wine cabinets. The word dybbuk is an adaptation, of the Hebrew root of davik, which means to cling or to cleave.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically supposedly haunted or they contain evil spirits or demonic entities that people want to keep in there, you know, from possessing people or from causing havoc, you know. Most of the time they're sealed with candle wax as well. And there's tons of them on eBay. But Nat, you got anything to say about the Dybbuk box?
It became quite popular over eBay. I know that. No, he basically caught the whole thing. I mean, there's some sort of writing on it in Hebrew, I believe. That's written.
Yeah, I think it's some sort of like Hebrew prayer.
Yeah,
I think
that's what, right? I remember. Like, yeah,
a protection type prayer to keep them in there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what it actually says, but yeah. So the one story I'm going to talk about it kind of has a couple different variations. One variation Nat had found. So we'll touch on the both of them. So in 2003, a man named Kevin Manis, he was an antique store owner, and he had bought a Dybbuk box off of eBay from a 103-year-old Holocaust survivor. God bless him, right? That's crazy. 103. It quickly was right back on eBay, because Kevin experienced nightmares, unexplained bruises, and strange smells in his house. You know, and so he, you know, obviously he got nervous about it and he put it back on eBay. It was then bought by a man named Jason Haxton, who had a string of bad luck after purchasing it. And, you know, not listening to the warnings, as he didn't really believe the stories, he opened the box. Bad mistake. Inside, he found a goblet, two locks of hair tied with string, pennies from the 1920s, a dried rosebud, a cast iron candlestick holder, and a granite statue engraved with Hebrew letters. I'm surprised he even opened it. I guess he really, truly didn't believe in it, you know? So shortly after, he became very ill and had a really bad, like a tidal wave of bad luck. His luck seemed to change for the better after he took advice from a rabbi to place the box in a gold-lined wooden container and bury it. Since then, he has actually had good luck, and his luck had turned around. And although he gets a lot of offers from people willing to buy it, he feels that it's his duty to keep it safely away from everyone. So, Nat, what was your story on that?
Mine ended with Kevin, the original owner. I didn't hear anything about him reselling it to another person. I heard technically that he ended up selling it to Ghost Adventure person Zach Beggins, who then now puts it in his haunted museum. I also heard that in one of their episodes, he actually had famous, I guess he's a rap star, Post Malone, come visit the museum and experience some bad luck after seeing the divot box, and blamed it all on the box. That's what I heard.
My kids call Post Malone the dirty guy.
I wonder why.
Because they say he doesn't take showers.
That part, no. I thought it was just because of the tattoos all over his face, really. No offense, Post. Not my thing.
Now all the people that have tattoos on their faces aren't going to listen to us now.
I got to learn how to keep my mouth shut.
For real, man. I mean, what if Mike Tyson was our... Now you got Mike Tyson pissed off at us.
That's not good.
That's not the right person you want to get pissed off at you. I don't care how old that man is.
Yeah, I hate being punched by him. So, we love you, no, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched every fight you had.
But Nat says your tattoos on your face look stupid.
I wasn't talking about him, buddy. I'm talking about Post Malone. I really don't care what he thinks. No, but seriously, it was, like I said, the story I heard is that he ended up giving the box away to Zach Beggins. It's in his museum now. And like I said, that's where I heard last. I never heard of anything about him selling it to anybody else.
Don't like go buying like a whole bunch of Dybbuk boxes and stuff like that on eBay, because most of them are probably fakes. You know, just be wary when you see one, if you want to buy one, whatever. And just don't open it, because whether you believe it or not, like why are you going to buy something that you might not believe in and then kind of mess with it, you know? Just keep it for like a conversation piece if you want, and just leave it wax sealed, okay? That's probably the best thing you could do.
Look, even if you are a firm believer and you do purchase these things, do it the correct way. Learn as much as you can first. Don't go out saying, oh, this is the cool thing to do, or I saw this on TV, it was on the Conjuring movie or whatever the hell movie it was, and go out and buy the first thing you see, because these things, if you believe in it, you'll know, can be dangerous.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we are not promoting anything. We're not telling you to go buy them. We're not telling you not to go buy them. It's entirely up to you. Just if you do, take proper precautions and make sure that, you know, it's safe enough to be in your home. As of Divot Boxes, though, I have heard that there is 4 movies based on these stories. I have, if I'm not mistaken, the story of Kevin's version is a movie. I think it's called The Possession. That's the only one I know that is actually in English. There are 3 other movies, I think, that's in the Jewish language. I'm not really 100% sure what the language is, but since it is a Jewish story, I do believe it's in that language. But Possession, I think, is the one that's in English.
So that's a little bit of history on the Dybbuk box. And so I hope you guys enjoyed that. And let's go on to some cryptid corner, Nat. And right now, it's a quick cryptid corner, by the way. I haven't done a cryptid corner in a while. So this one, okay, so cryptid corner is when I talk about cryptids, you know, like a Bigfoot, or and I'll usually try and pick some off the wall ones or some ones that, you know, like I've done the Bigfoot ones, I've done the Jersey Devil ones. So this one is called the Owlman of Monon, and it's a local legend of the people from Cornwall, UK. Many have spotted a large human-sized owl flying over the church tower of Monon. It's said to have red eyes and claws like a blacksmith's pincers, so very, very sharp claws. The first sighting was back in the 1920s by two young boys who were chased by a large winged creature. The next sighting was actually 50 years later in 1976 by two girls, 12-year-old June and 9-year-old Vicky. And as they were camping with their family for Easter holiday, they were so frightened that the trip was actually cut short 3 days. There was another sighting 2 years after that. Then in 1989, 1995, 96, 2003, and even as recent as 2009, which doesn't seem too recent, but to us old guys, 2009 was like yesterday. You know, so some killjoys seem to think that it may be a Eurasian eagle owl that has red eyes, stands about 30 inches tall, and has a wingspan of 6 feet. Or it could be an escaped great gray owl, which stands 4.5 feet, has a wingspan of 2 meters, and huge, huge talons. But no. It's definitely the owl man. No, it's not any of that stuff. It's definitely a man owl. Yeah. So that's Cryptid Corner Owl Man.
Now you're talking about, now that you've mentioned animals, I saw something once on TV also about that. This is not like, I don't think this is considered a cryptid, but it was a kind of a freaky story where a farmer ends up cutting the head off of a chicken, and the chicken actually stayed alive, headless, for over a whole night. He decided to leave it alone and let it die on its own, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and it was still walking around, alive, without a head.
Wow. Well, that's creepy. I've heard that they run around for a little while, for like a few seconds.
Yeah, but this was for a whole night. He cut his head off. It was still walking around, felt bad to do anything to it, left it alone, came back to the,
Hold on a second.
Where they have all their chickens.
He felt bad about doing something for a chicken that he chopped the head off of.
I don't know, dude. It's weird, but...
Yeah, I know I chopped the head off of this thing, but you know, now I kind of feel bad, you know,
because
now he's running around looking for his head. Off
and he can't eat nothing. Around. It's still walking around. You got to admit, why would you want to? You
know, that's crazy.
I know. And he said he came back there the next morning and the thing was still running around. Still just moving around the hen place or whatever the hell it's called. And I got to find out more about that also.
Yeah, that's creepy though. That's crazy.
Come on. Anyway, I just thought that since we were mentioning animals, owls, it just popped in my head.
So the last thing that we're going to talk about now is we're going to do an I Read It on Reddit. This, by the way, this isn't me saying it. It's the person that wrote the Reddit. Okay. So it sounds like they're like a millennial or more than that. So I'm just going to say it like in their way. So since
now you're going to have all the millennials hit you.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? Maybe I'll even read it like that. You're Hold fired, on a second. Joe. So since I was like 12, I've noticed this dark figure just standing in dark areas of homes and darker areas outside. And it looks exactly like a child, like six to seven, because of how tall it is. It's never given me a bad feeling like it wanted to hurt me, but it has scared me a few times. And I think it's low key enjoys to get me spooked sometimes. It's never tried to communicate, and I've never really tried. But there has been some weird occurrences that happened while guests were around, papers flying like someone had just smacked them, which, you know, side note, that happened to me, not with papers, but with a remote control. I found a book I was reading in a spot that I've never put it before. I asked my boyfriend if he had moved it. He said no. My boyfriend's stuff gets moved, and our dog often stares at the door, and the hair on its back stands up. It honestly looks like a little boy or maybe a girl with shorter hair. And like I said, it never gave me the impression that I wanted to hurt me or my family. And I'm not the only one who has seen him. I invited a friend of mine over and he spent the night. Now, my friend is like all into this spirit stuff, like spirit boards and tarot and all that good stuff. He started freaking out, saying he saw a kid in my kitchen right behind me while we were using the spirit board. Don't just use the spirit board, people. Please, please. He got up and turned the lights on and there was nothing. He then gathered all of his stuff and left at 4:30 in the morning and called me the next day, still freaking out and crying, telling me about the little boy. I've since started calling him Aiden. Okay. That's a real millennial name, by the way, too, Aiden. I think he's cool. I think he's cool with it because nothing has happened the past few months, but he has followed me when I moved out of my parents' house and into my boyfriend's. Other than that, I haven't seen him for a while. So, I mean, that's a shadow, like a shadow figure. Now, mind you, if this is a real thing, as the Warrens had taught us, it may not be a child at all. You know, it may be something worse, you know, that's putting, because what's more vulnerable than a child, you know? So they put themselves out to look like a child so you could trust it. That's the whole thing about the black-eyed children as well. Not the ones that are in shelters, the like the demon black-eyed children. And
I figured that.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, that was in poor taste, but oh well. We're getting canceled. I don't even think podcasts could get canceled, but I think we're going to get canceled. So, no, but that's...
And then we'll come back. We'll always come back.
So, yeah, I mean, just don't play around with those Ouija boards. They're bad news. Unless you're my buddy, you know, Chris Whitehouse, that knows how to use it and you've been trained on it and you've done it a million times and you know how to clear it and set it up and all this stuff and protect yourself from things. Don't mess around with it because, again, it's just like the Dybbuk box. Why are you going to mess with something that you don't know anything about? You know, it's exactly just kind of stupid. I said before.
Even if you don't believe in it, there's always that chance that it could be real and you might be inviting something that could be extremely dangerous that could harm you and other family members.
Yeah, I mean...
Play smart, kiddo.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like, for example, you know, there's always where there is like some fiction and stuff like that. The fiction came from somewhere. There's always some kind of truth embedded somewhere in there. So you never know. You never know if, you know, if what you're actually experiencing, what you're actually real, you know. So just be careful with that stuff because the Ouija board can, you know, bring something out and it could latch onto you. Then you might have a ghost watching you go pee all the time. And, you know, that's kind of invasive, you know.
Oh, you know, you might actually enjoy that. What if it's a female ghost?
Okay, now we're getting into some territory. Yeah.
How you doing?
Oh, boy. All right. So that's going to do it for this show. And, you know, thanks for listening the last 3.5 years, everybody, because this is probably going to be our last show.
wait. We have some news, don't we? About a certain Halloween episode we'll be doing?
Yes. Well, we will be doing more Halloween-esque stuff coming up. And our next episode is going to feature the top 10 haunted, I guess you could say, attractions from around the world. Our top 10 that we've put together. And a few honorable mentions that, you know, of others that we know about as well. So please stay tuned for that. We're going to have some more haunted stuff coming up, some more paranormal news, UFO news. Edgegrave Dave is going to have a great horrible review coming up soon. I'm sure John Wright's going to have his thing. And next week, we will have some haunted eBay as well. I know everybody likes that segment, but, you know, things happen and we had to skip it this week. So sorry. But yeah, so
we are human. We do have lives. We have families and everything.
That's right. That's right. So thank you guys for tuning in. And again, if you have a paranormal experience, please call 845-600-0744 because I can't do any more voices. You know, maybe Scooby-Doo, but I all I could say is like one line from Scooby-Doo and it's just not going to work. You know, and the other two guys, like that was pretty bad. I think I do Beavis a little
bit. I thought it was funny.
I think I do Beavis a little better than Butthead, but it wasn't fun for me. Okay. It was pretty sad. Okay. And
actually, you know, it might not have been fun for you, but I definitely enjoyed hearing that. I needed that. That was a good laugh, buddy.
There's more where that comes from, Nat. There's more where that came from.
Oh, guess what, guys? I have an idea. Told you about it later.
So thank you, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time. Later.
All right, guys. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.